بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء وانحسرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته ورضعت عظمته العقول والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم وقل اعملوا فسيرى الله عملكم ورسوله والمؤمنون صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
It is our responsibility in the time of Ghaibat of the Imam of our time to not only remember him at all times but also consider the Imam to be nadhir, watchful over our actions. And if we as believers believe that he is nadhir, watchful over our actions, this is going to make a revolution and change for good in our life. Obviously, Imam alayhi salam is watching all the amal, all the actions. In the ziyarat, we address the Imam by saying, Assalamu alayka ya nadhira sidratil muntaha. My salam to you, O the one who looks at the sidra, which is the limit. It's sidra is the tree where Jibreel alayhi salam resides, and we call it the limit because it's the limit of Jibreel. He cannot go farther than that. So that's where the 70 hijabat start from, after the Sidratul Muntaha. So we find that we address the Imam by saying, O salam on you, O the one who looks towards the Sidra, which is the limit. So he can look through everything available, all the heavens and earth combined are under his watch. So nothing in this world, no time and no space is beyond his supervision. Time doesn't impact the Imam because he is the Waliyul Asr. He is the ruler of the time. He has authority over the time. Time is his subordinate. Time is under his walayat. Time is muwalla alayh. Time is the subordinate of the Imam. Time was created in front of his eyes. He was there before the time was created. And the place cannot also restrict and limit his walayat, because the like Shaykh al-Mufid rahmatullahi alayh has mentioned about the Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam. That this earth is like falqatul jawza, that means a piece of walnut. The piece of walnut. If you break the walnut into pieces, just like a piece of walnut, that's small. And the hadith from Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam says that the planet Earth for the Imam is like the stone of the ring. How small it is for the, like, you know, it's within your reach, you can do whatever to this, you can see everywhere all the time, isn't it right? So it's this is how the example has been given in the hadith, that the planet Earth is in the presence of the Imam is like the stone of the ring. So nothing can miss out from his information, despite the fact that he is ghaib. Whereas being ghaib does not mean that he is not watchful over the amal. We definitely believe that Imam alayhi salam is the ghaib. One of the tafaseer about this ayat of Holy Quran, Alif Lam Mim, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. Those pious people who believe in the unseeable. And the unseeable ghaib is defined in the hadith of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْحُجَّةِ الْغَائِبِ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ. Those who believe in the hujjat, that means the Imam who is the hujjat and ghaib alayhi salatu wasalam. Please say salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
So Imam alayhi salam is the madhar of the ghaib of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. And he is ghaib, but he is present. Watchful among us, ghaib doesn't mean that he is not here or he is living somewhere on Al Jaziratul Khadra, which was a fake story, fabricated, maj'ool. It's nothing to do with haqiqat. There is no Jaziratul Khadra like that. Imam alayhi salam lives on the earth. As one of the Fatimiyin, one of the Fatimid dynasty in Egypt, who were Sayyids. One of the Fatimi Sayyid had chosen his residence on one of the islands close to Egypt. And from that incident, it became famous, Sayyid al-Fatimi, living on that island. And they, you know, related that to Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam fakely, which he has nothing to do with that. There's no Jaziratul Khadra, which is the residence of the Imam. And some people ended up talking about the Bermuda Triangle and all this incorrect, fabricated, baseless stories. Imam alayhi salam lives on this earth, lives on the earth, and he is able to be seen. يَرَوْنَهُ وَلَا يَعْرِفُونَهُ. People see him but do not recognize him. وَيَرَاهُمْ وَيَعْرِفُهُمْ. He can see the people and recognize them. So Imam is here, he is seeable, people can see him. When he appears, people will say, well, I saw him there, I saw him there. Because he was seeable. The ghaibat, when we say, it's not a ghaibatun maddiyah, there is no hijabun maddi, there is no physical curtain there is between us and the Imam. When we talk about the ghaibat, it means that there is a hijab, which is a lack of ma'rifat, lack of the ma'rifat and of the shanaft of the Imam. Like in Farsi we say shanaft, the lack of shanaft and ma'rifat, lack of in-depth recognition. People do not do not know their fara'id and do not practice their fara'id towards the Imam alayhi salam. This is about ma'rifat. If we knew our duties towards the Imam and his walayat, and we are practicing our duties, there is no hijab between the arifin, the person who has ma'rifat, there is no hijab between him and the Imam. Hijab is of the jahl about the, you know, walayat of the Imam. Those who have the ma'rifat of the walayat have no hijab. So what we were discussing is that we should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for blessing us to be living in the time of this Imam, for which our Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam has said, that when somebody asked him that Hal Wulid al-Qa'im, has the Imam al-Qa'im alayhi salam been born? So Imam alayhi salam replied, La, no. Wallahi law adraktuhu lakhadamtuhu ayyama hayati. I swear to Allah, if I had found him, I would have served him throughout my life. Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam is ready to serve the Imam for his entire life. So we should be proud to have that kind of Imam, and we should be in his remembrance, in his zikr and remembrance all the time, because remembering him is the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Man zakarakum faqad zakar Allah azza wa jal. Whoever remembers you remembers Allah. So we need to remember the Imam, and that's how we will remind ourselves to perform the duties towards the Imam. So it's important, like Ayatullah al-Uzma Bahjat rahmatullah alayhi had said in one of his statements that he sent, one of the messages that he sent to the Congreye Mahdawiyat, the conference that took place in Islamic Republic about Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, he sent the message to that conference about Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, that you have to tell the stories of those great personalities who have met with the Imam alayhi salam, so that our youth realize that it's possible to meet with the Imam. So we have to be mindful that Imam is nazir over our a'mal. So this ayat of Holy Quran, which I recited in the beginning of my speech, وَقُلْ اِعْمَلُوا فَسَيَرَ اللَّهُ عَمَلَكُمْ وَرَسُولُهُ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Say, do, act, that means do your actions, in other words, and soon Allah will see your action and his messenger and the believers, the mu'minun. And in the tafsir of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wa salam, the word al-mu'minun, the believers, is interpreted for the imams alayhi salatu wa salam, the ma'sumeen alayhi salatu wa salam. So the ma'sumeen, all of them are watching the actions. We learn in the light of this tafsir, of this ayat of Quran, that all the ma'sumeen alayhimus salam are seeing our actions. Nothing that we do is missing from their presence. They know it. So this person was a Shia, a lover of Ahlul Bayt, but his brother was belonging to a different sect of Islam. He was not a Shia. And he comes, this brother who is a Shia, he comes to see Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam in Medina. And Imam alayhi salam asked about his brother, that brother who belonged to a different sect of Islam. He says, yes, you know, my brother is very muhtaat, and because of his ihtiyat and taqwa, he doesn't even believe in your walayat. He is doing so much ihtiyat, even in believing in your walayat. So Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam said to him, that say to your brother, what happened to your ihtiyat in that night alongside the Nahr of Balkh? Where was your taqwa and ihtiyat at that time, in other words? Obviously, this brother doesn't know anything about that story, but he went back all the way. Balkh is right part is there, you know, in Afghanistan. So you just imagine it's a long travel for the person to go all the way from Medina back to Balkh in Afghanistan. And so when he went back after his travel, he met with his brother and he gave the message of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam to his brother that this is what the Imam has said. So he was shocked. His brother was totally in shock and obviously surprised by hearing this remark, and he said to his brother that I accept the walayat of your Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Because he was able to see me from that far distance in Medina, he was watching what I was doing in Balkh. So this brother said, who is a Shia, he said to his brother, what were you doing in that night that Imam alayhi salam is talking about? He said, what happened is that on that night in the city of Balkh, alongside the river, you know, my friend left to get some firewood for lighting the fire. So I did a haram relationship with her, with his servant, female servant. I did a haram relationship with her on that night. So this is what we take a ibrat and lesson from this story, that our Imam alayhi salam, Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam, is watching everything that we perform. And this is what our scholars say, that let us not add into the sorrow of the and the huzn of the Imam. He's already very mahzoon for so many things that have happened in the past. He still has to take the intiqam of the shuhada of Karbala. Isn't it right? He has to take the intiqam and he has to take the revenge of so many of the mazalim that has taken place in the history. So let us not add into the agony and the sorrow which our Imam alayhi salam has been facing. And he is watchful and looking at all what we are doing. So we find that the ziyarat and meeting of the Imam is possible, but what is blocking us to meet with the Imam is our own a'mal. فَمَا يَحْبِسُنَا عَنْهُمْ إِلَّا مَا يَتَّصِلُ بِنَا مِمَّا نَكْرَهُهُ. This is what Imam Sahib Zaman Islam wrote and sent the letter to Shaykh al-Mufid. In the letter that Imam Sahib al-Zaman has sent to Shaykh al-Mufid, two letters, 411 and 413 Hijra. In one of the letters, this is the statement, very famous. Inna ghayru muhmidina li mura'atikum wa la nasina li dhikrikum wa la dhalik nastalamakum al-a'da. So we have not ignored, you know, to take care of you, nor we have forgotten you. And if that was the case, enemies would have destroyed you, in other words. So why the mu'min community is surviving is because of the care that Imam Sahib al-Zaman al-Islam is taking care of them and protecting them from the enemies of Islam. So we find, except those people who are obviously, this is not part of the hadith, I am explaining to you, except those people whose death is written. Somebody whose death is written in the qada and qadr, obviously it has to arrive. But the community is being protected by the care of the Imam alayhi salam, under the lutf of the Imam. And he mentioned in the letter that فَمَا يَحْبِسُنَا عَنْهُمْ, nothing blocks them from us. That means the Shias, there is nothing stopping them to meet with us except their bad a'mal that we hate. إِلَّا مَا يَتَّصِلُ بِنَا, what reaches us that we hate. That means the bad amal. It's the bad amal of the people which is basically blocking them to reach with the Imam. So those who have this kind of obedience and taharat do not have any hijab. This is what we as the believers do in the Imam alayhi salam and his walayat, are supposed to strive in our life to maintain and to establish and to enhance this taharat in the qalb. Please recite salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
There are abundant stories. Some of them I would like to mention tonight. For the same purpose what Ayatullah al-Udhma Bahjat rahmatullah alayhi had said, so that we understand that it should be part of the ahdaf and goals of a mu'min in his life. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to become one of those awliyaullah who have the sharaf and the fazilat to be in the presence of the Imam. So Ayatullah al-Uzma Sheikh Hassan Ali Nukhudki rahmatullah alayh is one of the very famous and one of the very unique urafa in our history, was residing in the city of Mashhad al-Muqaddas, and he had a teacher from Yazd, from the city of Yazd. And his teacher, obviously, these urafa have great teachers, and they are murshid and murabbi. They are the ones who provide lots of spiritual guidances. So what his teachers from the Yazd was ill. And at that time, obviously, several of the students were paying a visit to the teacher in his house. Iyadat al-Mareed, which is mustahab in Islam. And all of a sudden, it is narrated that the teacher, he is lying on the bed. He started to wear some clothes, and then he stood up from his bed and went next to the door and sat close to the door in a very respectful way and started talking to somebody. And the rest of the people are not hearing any voice, they are not seeing anybody at the door. That they are hearing their teacher talking, but they are not hearing anyone else. Who is there? Who is he talking to? They are not seeing, they are not hearing the voice of that person. And after some talk, then after a while he again stood up and came back to his place, and he said to his student that, why didn't you stand up? He said, obviously the students did not see the Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam coming at his house. So he said that Imam alayhi salam came for my iyadat, and he has brought these two dates. One is for me and one date is for marhum al-Bafiqi rahmatullah alayhi, who is another one of the famous awliyaullah in those days. So this one date has to be sent to him. So this one is for him and the other one is for marhum Bafiqi rahmatullah alayhi. And this date, that this riwayat says, has so much nice smell like the misk and musk. Beautiful smell. The whole room was mu'attar with the smell of this date, which is unlikely coming from a date. And this person, he sent the other date for marhum Bafiqi rahmatullah alayh, and this person was carrying the date wherever he was going. People were asking him, what kind of smell you have, because everyone is feeling this extraordinary smell which is coming from that date. So this is how we find that Imam alayhi salatu wasalam have visitation towards his beloved personalities. Actually, if you look in the ahadith of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, they say that you don't need to come to us, we will come to you ourselves. That means if we have the islahun nafs, if we protect our spirituality, we don't need to come towards Ahlul Bayt. Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam are always ready to come towards us. They are Sakhi ibn Sakhi and Kareem ibn Kareem. They themselves will take a step forward to come towards us and help out their followers. So this is the personality of each of the Imams. Our Imam alayhi salam is unique from several perspectives, including the fact that he is of the Sinnu Shuyukh and he is in the age of the old and elderly people. Obviously right now his age is more than 1200 years, isn't it right? But his manzar, his appearance is like a young man, Dun al Arba'in Sana, less than 40 years of age. When he appears, his appearance is like a man of less than 40 years of age. This is another living mu'jiza of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the time has not affected the appearance of the Imam alayhi salam. And the riwayat are there which mention about his personality, his appearance. Akhadul aynain, his eyes have like kohul surma, which is tabi'atan, naturally there. That's the beauty of the eyes. Naturally, that's how Allah created. And aqnal anf, a pointed nose. And his hair of the beard are all black, all, despite the fact he's more than 1200 years old, but it's all black. And his forehead is described to be wide, ajlal jabha, there's a wide and expanded and luminous forehead. And also his eyebrows are curved, curvy eyebrows, but they are connected in the middle. And wa'ala khaddihi al-ayman khalun, there's a mole on the right cheek of the Imam alayhi salatu wasalam. So this is the kind of description which you find in the narration about the Imam alayhi salam. So we find that he has the seal and khatm of imamat and walayat, just like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had the seal of nubuwat. Just like the Prophet had the seal and khatm of nubuwat between his two shoulders at his back, similarly the Imam has the seal and khatm of walayat and imamat between his two shoulders on his back. And what is emphasized, brothers and sisters, what is emphasized by our scholars is the avoiding of the harams. And avoiding of the haram, risk and food. These people, you know, these stories which have been mentioned of these great personalities did not have the haram risk going in their stomach. They were very muhtaat about the kind of food they consumed. There is a story which is mentioned, I would like to mention that, of a mu'min, a very nice and a person who was not an alim in that sense of the word, but a regular mu'min, regular in the sense that he was not an alim, but he was a very pious person. Haj Muhammad Ali Al-Fishandi rahmatullah alayh. And it's narrated that Imam alayhi salam came to see him at the occasion of Arafat, in the Maidan of Arafat. And Imam congratulated him for spending the night in the Maidan of Arafat. Baytuta is Mabit, or Baytuta is Mustahab, is Sawab. We spend the night in the Arafat. Obviously, when you go to Mash'ar al-Haram, Muzdalifah, we need to be there from the Al-Fajr al-Sadiq to the sunrise. That's the what is wajib. It's not wajib to be there in Muzdalifah and Mash'ar al-Haram in the night. So Baytuta in Arafat has a lot of sawab. And this is what Imam alayhi salam mentioned to him in the statement that you did the... He said, this is what I'm going to say, that Imam said, in other words, that you did the Baytuta, that my grandfather Imam Hussein alayhi salam did. So this is the seerat of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, to spend the night in Arafat. Well, Arafat is a place which is related to Ma'rifat. Our scholars say the reason why we call this Maidan of Arafat to be Arafat, that a mu'min is supposed to go past the stage of Ma'rifat. When he leaves this Maidan, he's supposed to be done with the Ma'rifat of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. So now that he is moving towards Mash'arul Haram, which is the place of shu'ur and awareness, he's already entering into the place of shu'ur and awareness after having the ma'rifat. This is how it works. So, this person, Haj Muhammad Ali, he used to sell potatoes back then in his country, in Iran. He was a small business selling potatoes and onions. Like I said in the beginning, he was not a scholar in that sense of the word, but never used to consume the haram rizq. So we find lots of conversations took place between him and the Imam alayhi salam, and finally, He did not recognize that this is the Imam. He asked the Imam about Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam, that where is he? And Imam told him he is in the Khaymah. Obviously they are available in the Khaymah right now when they are discussing and talking. And he said that this is the time, this is the day of Arafah, Yawm Arafah, and obviously Imam is supposed to be in the Maidan of Arafah at this time. We know that Imam alayhi salam performs the Hajj every year. So when the time of the wukuf in Arafat comes, then everybody has to be there. Imam, including the Imam, he follows the same Sharia. So he's also in the same small Maidan of Arafat. That's where the Imam is at that time. So he asked the Imam, he asked Imam Sahib al-Zaman without recognizing that he is the Imam, that where is he? And Imam al-Zaman replied, in the hudud of Jabal al-Rahma, I mean the limits of the mountain of Rahmat. In Maidan of Arafat, you know, there is the mountain which we call Jabal al-Rahma. For those of you who go for Hajj or Umrah, it's very good to also, we visit, especially at the occasion of Hajj, we visit the Jabal Rahma, we do munajat of Allah and istighfar and du'as for the mu'mineen and mu'minat and for our own selves and forgiveness at the Jabal Rahma. You know, inshallah, we hope our sins are forgiven at that place, at that mountain which belongs to the rahmat and mercy of Allah. So then he asked the Imam, so first he asked where is he, and he said in the hudud, in the limits of Jabal al-Rahma. And then he says that is it possible to see the Imam? And Imam alayhi salam replies that you are seeing the Imam. And Imam alayhi salam, but he still did not understand that he is the Imam who is talking to me. Imam gives him 100 money to perform one umrah in the niyat of his father of the Imam alayhi salam. That means Imam Hassan al-Askari alayhi salatu was salam. So obviously when he receives the money, Haj Muhammad Ali, he receives the money from the Imam to perform Umrah, Niyabatan. So he asks, what's the name of your father? He said, what's the name of the, father? So he says, obviously the conversation Zahiran is happening in Farsi. Imam Sahib al-Zaman speaks all the languages. So as it is narrated, he mentions the name Hassan of his father's name is Hassan, obviously Hassan al-Askari alayhi salam. So he says, okay, what is your name? And he mentions his personal introduction as Mahdi alayhi salatu wasalam. He still did not recognize. So now finally when he understands that this is the Imam alayhi salam, he falls himself, drops himself onto the Imam, obviously to respect and to hug the Imam alayhi salatu wasalam. So we find that he says that I would like to meet you with you again. Is there a chance we can meet tomorrow again? And Imam alayhi salam again says to him that I'm going to be present in your khaymah tomorrow. There will be the musibat and masa'ib of my uncle Abbas, Abu al-Fadl Abbas alayhi salam, being recited, and I will be there. So, in other words, so he finds that on the next day he was still there in the khaymah with the rest of the members of his qafila, and the scholar, the alim who was there in the caravan, he started to read the musibat, the masa'ib of Abu al-Fadl Abbas alayhi salam. Everybody is crying in the khaymah by listening to those masa'ib. So this person, obviously, he is affected by the masa'ib, but he's also looking and watchful for the imam, because imam promised that he will be there in the khaymah, he will be there, you know, attending that masa'ib and musibat for his uncle Abu al-Fadl Abbas alayhi salam. He did not see the imam. So all of a sudden, when he was thinking about the imam, it came into his mind that why not I go out and see. So he walks out of the khaymah, and that's where he sees that Imam alayhi salam was standing next to that rope or the pillar of the khaymah. He was standing there and crying over his uncle Abu al-Fadl Abbas alayhi salam. Peace say salawat. So likewise, it is narrated about Allama Al-Hilli rahmatullahi alayhi. I'll bring, come take the speech to the end soon after that, inshallah. That Allama Al-Hilli obviously is one of the most respectable and one of the most qualified scholars of our entire Shia history. We find that author of 523 volumes of books, 523 volumes of books were authored by Allama Al-Hilli rahmatullah. So he's traveling to Karbala, and on his way towards Karbala, in the desert, when he's traveling over his animal, riding his animal, he meets with another young man who is also traveling. Allama Al-Hilli did not recognize that this is Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam. So he started to ask the salam alaik, you know, and questions and things, conversation started. And Allama Al-Hilli had some issues of Islam which was unresolved for him, some questions. Every time you may have questions which are unresolved. So he started to ask some question to this young man, and he was answering so nicely in a very knowledge, you know, in academic way. So Allama Al-Hilli was shocked. I know that in the desert of Iraq, you can find scholars who can talk about these difficult issues of Islam, that the marji' al-taqlid, Allama Al-Hilli is the marji', he is being followed by the entire Islamic Ummah. So, you know, so even the marji' does not know, but there is a young man in the desert who knows the answers to all questions. He was really shocked about this thing. So, again it came into his mind to ask another question to this man, that is it possible for us to meet with the, in the time of Ghaibat, to meet with the Imam of our time? So he said this statement, and this little stick that he was holding in his hand, stick to slash the animal, this stick fell down on the desert. So Imam Sahib al-Zaman, who's walking next to him, you know, he picks up the stick and he gives it into the hand of Allama Al-Hilli and says that how come it's not possible to meet with the, you know, with the Imam, when the Imam of your time, in other words, Imam of your time is giving and handing over the stick into your hand. So Allama al-Hilli, when he sees that this is the Imam, he drops himself down from the back of the animal on the feet of Imam alayhi salam, and Imam disappears. Please say salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
When he becomes unconscious and he regains his conscience after becoming unconscious, he finds that the Imam is not there. So we find, brothers and sisters, that what is missing is the ma'rifat and obedience towards the Imam. And what is blocking us, I'm talking about myself, what is blocking us is our own sins, which blocks us from the Imam alayhi salam. So this is one of the benefits of attending the Majalis al-Aza of Abi Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salatu wassalam, is that it transforms our qalb. It creates an inqilab in the qalb. Taqleeb al-qulub ya muqallib al-qulub wal-absar. The taqleeb al-qulub happens, the changing and revolution and altering and total transformation of the qulub and souls of the people happens because Imam Husayn al-Islam is the mazhar of this name of Allah as well. So likewise, mentioning the masa'ib of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, khususan the masa'ib of Abul Fadl Abbas alayhi salatu wassalam. Abul Fadl Abbas alayhi salam is unique, and he is mahbub and beloved of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. In the Battle of Siffin, we find Abul Fadl Abbas has been taught by Imam Ali himself the asalib al-harb, the tactics of war and how to fight was taught by Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. So he is the student of Imam Ali alayhi salam, and he was protected, he was saved, he was prepared by Imam Ali alayhi salam for the day of Karbala. So when the day of Ashura arrives, Abul Fadl Abbas can be present to defend Husayn ibn Ali alayhi salam. And this is the job that Abul Fadl Abbas alayhi salam did, you know, in the excellent way. We find that everyone has been focusing on Abul Fadl Abbas alayhi salam. So on the time of the rihlat and shahadat of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, he gives the hand of everyone into the hand of Imam Hassan al-Mustafa alayhi salam. But he did not give the hand of Abul Fadl Abbas. And when Hazrat Ummul Baneen salamullah alayha, she asked Amir al-Mu'mineen about that, Imam Ali alayhi salam hands over the hand of Abul Fadl Abbas into the hand of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. So we find he's the beloved in the eyes of everyone. Everyone is focused on Abul Fadl Abbas. So Imam Ali alayhi salam is expecting Abul Fadl Abbas to make sure that he proves his shaja'at. He defends Imam Husayn alayhi salam the way he's supposed to defend, and he's supposed to take care of Abi Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam. Likewise, we find that he is the markaz and focus of Sayyidah Zainab salamullah alayha. How Abul Fadl Abbas is the markaz and focus of love of Sayyidah Zainab salamullah alayha? Because we find that after the shahadat of Abul Fadl Abbas alayhi salam, when Imam Hussein comes back towards the Khaymah, when Imam Hussein comes back towards the Ahlul Haram, and Hazrat Zainab learns that Abul Fadl Abbas has become Shaheed, he is not going to return back towards the Khaymah. We find that Hazrat Zainab said that my father, which I am paraphrasing, my father used to kiss my hands. Imam Ali used to kiss the hands of Hazrat Zainab by saying
then the tanab, the ropes will be tied in your hands. Obviously, Hazrat Zainab now understands that now that Abul Fadl Abbas has become shaheed, now she understands the time has arrived where who can tie up the ropes in the hands of Hazrat Zainab, who has a brother like Abul Fadl Abbas. It is impossible to do that. It is impossible to tie up the hands of Zainab in the presence of Abul Fadl Abbas alayhi salam. But now that she knows that Abul Fadl Abbas has gone, he became shaheed, Hazrat Zainab understands, this is the time what her father has said. The time where the ropes will be tied and rope will be tied into her hand has arrived. Likewise, this is also narrated by some scholars that in the night before Ashura, Abul Fadl Abbas visited into the khaymah of Umm Kulthum. So she was crying in her khaymah. She was crying in the night of Ashura, and Abul Fadl Abbas alayhi salam started to talk to her, and she said to him that everyone is preparing their children to sacrifice their kids for Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Sacrifice their children for Imam Hussein alayhi salam tomorrow on the day of Ashura, in other words. But I don't have children. I don't have children to sacrifice for Imam Hussein. And Abul Fadl Abbas replies back to her, replies back to Umm Kulthum, that I will be sacrificed on your behalf. Look at the azmat of Abul Fadl Abbas alayhi salam. So he is the markaz of tawajjuh of Umm Kulthum salamullah alayha as well. He is the markaz of tawajjuh of Amir al-Mu'mineen. He is the markaz of tawajjuh of Hazrat Zainab and Hazrat Umm Kulthum. And likewise, he is the markaz of tawajjuh of Ummul Baneen alayhi salam as well. So we find when the qafila of Ahlul Haram, Ahlul Bayt arrives in Medina, the qafila comes into Medina, and we find that this mu'min was asked from Imam Sajjad to go and announce about the arrival of Ahlul Bayt. And he goes there, he visits into the city of Medina, and he announces to the people of Medina that, you know, this is no longer the place for you people to live, because the Ahlul Haram have arrived after what happened in Karbala. So Ummul Madina alayhi salam, she also comes when she hears the news about the Ahlul Haram arriving to Medina, back to their home. And this person is informing Ummul Baneen the news. She has four of her sons dying in Karbala. Abul Fadl Abbas, her four brothers died, became shaheed in Karbala. So he's informing the news gradually. You know, when you inform a mother about the death of your son, you don't tell it all of a sudden. You tell it gradually to the mother. It is very hard for the mother to hear the news. Now Ummul Baneen has four sons becoming shaheed, not one. So this person is telling the news gradually to Ummul Baneen. But she replies back. She look at the azmat and shuja'at of Ummul Baneen alayhi salam. She replies back to this person that قَدْ قَتَعْتَ نِيَاتَ قَلْبِي. You have broken the vein of my heart, in other words. He said, what did I do? He said, you did not inform me about the news regarding my son Hussein. So Ummul Baneen alayhi salam is not worried about her own children. She is worried about Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And he says that Imam Hussein also became shaheed. And she turns towards Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. How much you were proud over, how much Imam Ali was proud over Abul Fadl Abbas. My son Hussein became shaheed. And this person Bashir says to Ummul Baneen, please don't say that, because as long as Abul Fadl Abbas was alive, he didn't allow anything to happen. He didn't allow anything to happen to Imam Hussein.
ألا لعنة الله
على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون إلهي بحق الزهراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها يا الله 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 اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واخذل الكفار والمنافقين اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين لا سيما الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين.